Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney.
And I'm your co-host, Shane Northrup.
Today, we're going to be talking about Plex, Netflix, No Man's Sky, Pepe the Frog, Facebook, and Twitch. And, Shay, have you ever heard of Plex?
I've heard a little bit about Plex.
Now, Plex, just straight Plex, is a great digital distribution platform for your own digital media. So if you've downloaded movies, for example, your TV shows, other stuff, you put it on the server or software on your personal computer, and you can stream it anywhere in the world. Matter of fact, you can actually share it with friends. And the basic Plex app itself, or the server software, has actually pretty low specs. It can run on everything from Windows 7, SP1, OS 10, Linux, and more. They just announced something revolutionary for that, is now they have a way that you can stream the media straight from your Amazon Cloud. Now, Amazon Cloud is $59. That's $59.99 a year for unlimited storage. Now, the caveat to this is you have to have a Plex Season Pass. Now, a Plex Season Pass is $4.99 for a monthly subscription, $39.99 for an annual pass, or a lifetime Plex Pass of $150. Now, what this allows you to do is upload all of your movies, TV shows, and other media to the cloud, connect your Plex account to that, and now you don't have to have your own server. The positive thing about this is it saves you money on electricity. It saves you from, you know, eventually burning out your computer, because I do think no matter what anybody tells you, having a computer running all the time can actually be bad for it over time. I've actually gone through a couple of computers by never shutting it off.
I've never had that problem. I've really? Never met anybody that's had that problem, actually.
Oh, I've had that a computer that problem. I've left computers on for, granted, it took a while. I left a computer on for 5 years straight. The only reason it turned off was a power outage.
Oh, well, I think like 5 years straight, I mean, of course, you're going to get some. Over time anyway, you're going to get some damage to the power supply.
And the other thing is Plex can be a little intensive because you're streaming video, and depending on the video, it's also transcoding it. So this is actually really cool. This saves you a lot of things. The only negative side about it that I can think of is if you've obtained your movies or TV shows through nefarious means, you know, say if you download a copy of, I don't know, Ninja Turtles.
So, like, for this, one of the things that I'm kind of worried about with Plex is it, have you ever heard of Kodi?
Yeah, it used to be the Xbox Media Center.
Yeah, so it's kind of like where you have to, in order to get things to download, you can't use Plex itself, right? Like, you have to use other means to get your stuff onto Plex? Or does Plex have a selection itself?
Yeah, so far, because I actually have a personal Plex server on my home PC, what I do is I have all my my own content on it. I mean, there are ways to get some channels, but that's the benefit of Kodi, unlike Plex, is Kodi has a lot of other channels for other things.
Right.
Other additional add-ons. Plex, so far, doesn't have a lot. I'm more using it for me as kind of like making my own Netflix, for example. It's just a way for my wife and I, or friends, for example, just to binge on, you know, like, say, one of my favorite documentaries that I've watched like 100 times type of thing.
Okay.
That's the best way to describe it. The other thing I like it for is, say, if I buy a movie and say, hey, man, you've really got to check this out. And, you know, like, say the guy's like in France, for example. I just say, hey, what you do, download Plex, find my, here's my information, and watch the movie. I mean, that's the benefit about it, is you can share content. I'm not quite sure legally how legal some of this is, but just letting you know, this is actually what it does and what I use it for.
There's nothing illegal about sharing account information. No. You always get people online who are trying to tell you that, oh, pretty soon, if you start sharing your Netflix information, that's going to be illegal. That's a lie.
Well, I mean more of like sharing a movie, for example. Like, if I rip a copy of, say, the new Ninja Turtles movie that came out and put on my Plex. Now, how legal is that for me to share my backup copy, which by a fair use is legal for me to do?
But I mean, like, I mean, that comes pretty close to just sharing a DVD.
Yeah, but it's still, from everything I've read, it's still in the marketable gray area. But I love Plex. I really am using it kind of my own personal Netflix. What I'm doing is I'm actually ripping all of my favorite television shows, movies that I've personally bought over the years, and putting it on there. And maybe it's just because it's a little bit of a lazy factor that I just want to hit play and leave it playing all day long.
Well, and I'm sure that's a good way to back up some of your stuff.
It is. I'm actually going to be buying a small computer within the next month solely for Plex. Because part of it is I don't want to leave my normal computer on all the time. For example, my current desktop cost me roughly $2,000. And I actually want to shut it off. I don't want all the wear and tear. I need this computer to last for me. So if I buy a $500 computer, $150 external drive, and that blows up on me, I'm not out a $2,000 high-end Core i7 that I use for everything. That's, you know, that's the reason I'm doing it. Now, you can install Plex on a lot of different things. I think they just announced the NVIDIA Shield. I think you can do it on Steam boxes. There's a bunch of things you can use it on. There's an app that you can use it for the Raspberry Pi that turns it into a Plex viewer. So what do you think of? Is this Plex something that you would do?
Probably not. I have a couple other ways to go about these sort of things. For my movies and TV shows that I buy, I just have a movies folder on an external hard drive and on my computer. So I just keep everything in there.
Yeah. No, that's actually what I was doing for quite a while. The reason I like this is it's a better... it just looks better. It's a better interface. Now, I'm doing it a little bit differently because some of the files over the years I've ripped into different file types, and I'm not a big fan of transcoding it again, that makes sense.
Well, if you keep transcoding things, eventually, like each time you transcode something, the quality goes down just a little bit.
So what I do is I have, like, okay, say my documentaries folder, I have AVI, I've got MOV, I've got WMA, and MP4.
Right.
So the best thing about Plex is it's one solid interface. I don't have to dial down on all my folders to find the particular one I'm looking at.
Gotcha.
So it's a simplified interface, what I like.
Now, speaking of sitting down and binge-watching things, apparently the Netflix catalog has shrunk by a whopping 50% the past couple of years. So if you've been on Netflix and you think, oh, man, Netflix, the selection seems to be a lot less than, I don't know, a couple of years ago. Well, you're right.
I know for me, there's some TV shows that I like that are no longer on there. And I know y'all are going to laugh at me, but I'm a big fan of older TV shows. Dragnet, Adam 12. There's a handful of other ones that used to be on there that are no longer on there. So I'm not really surprised.
Well, and even stuff like Psych got pulled.
Well, I didn't actually know that. Part of it,
like some of the bigger ones, too, because I was looking at the forums on Reddit. And a gentleman was saying that he was watching season 2 of Psych, and all of a sudden it just stopped in the middle of the night.
I'm not really surprised. I know Netflix got in trouble. I mean, not really in trouble, but I know they signed some sort of deal, so they get new releases slower and older for them to do certain things.
Well, it depends on the content, too. Like, I know a lot of bad movies that get released go to Netflix pretty quickly, like... I don't know. A lot of kids' movies go to Netflix pretty quickly as well.
What was it? There's a company that makes rip-off titles. Was it Battle Los Angeles?
Asylum.
Asylum?
They're called Asylum. They do.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
because if you wanted to watch Transformers, you'd get Transmorphers.
Yeah, like Aaron Eckhart was in a movie called Battle Los Angeles, and they made one called Battle L.A., which is short enough for it technically not to be a violation of the law.
Well, they did. What was it? When Pacific Rim came out, they had Atlantic Rim, and then they got sued, so they had to change it. But yeah, so apparently since 2012, the Netflix selection has dropped down to 50%, roughly 11,000 titles. From there to about 5,300 titles. So one of the things, and I don't think this is too big of a problem because I don't know if you remember Netflix in 2012, but I do, and there was a lot of bad content on there. Netflix was just kind of buying up anything and everything they can get their hands on. And so with the arrival of a lot of these new Netflix original movies and shows, we're not getting so much garbage.
I actually have a problem a little bit of what they title Netflix originals. Is some of this stuff isn't actually originally by them. Some of the stuff that's either forgotten about or it's dead, as it were. One of my favorite comedians that sadly has passed away is a gentleman by the name of Richard Jenny, and you couldn't find his stand-up special anywhere. Netflix, I guess, bought the rights to it, tagged it as their own. So that's the issue I have, is some of this stuff isn't original. It's stuff that they, I guess, they just purchased the rights for.
Right. Well, and a lot of it, too, is a lot of their original content Netflix shovels money out for, and then it becomes a Netflix show.
And the other thing is there's a couple of anime series like that, for example. And I think so you're basically saying they buy the rights for, but some of these they actually produce, don't they?
Yes. Most of it they produce.
Hmm.
And a lot of that content is a lot better than a lot of the stuff that they bought before. There was just endless amounts of garbage on Netflix at one point, and it was really hard to find anything watchable.
I still think it's hard to find anything watchable. My main thing is the Netflix original tag on non-Netflix originals. Maybe it's just me being pedantic, but they should call it Netflix Presents.
So yeah, so a lot of stuff isn't there anymore. I think it's honestly for the better. I hated shoveling through so much stuff.
I do think it's the right way to go, because, you know, I've read a few articles about this, and they're right far as Amazon Prime and Hulu. I think there's a couple of other ones kind of focus on everything under the sun. I think they're on the right track by producing original content.
Well, Hulu and Amazon are starting to do a lot of their own content, too.
Yeah, I don't think as much. I think it's Amazon and Netflix really kind of kicked it off, and I think Netflix has been the leader of that for a while.
Oh, yeah, because their stuff's actually good. They don't pay for bad content. Well, I don't know. There's some stuff that's not my cup of tea, but it's usually really well produced.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the best – yeah, I mean, my co-host is right totally on that. There's definitely a lot of stuff that I don't like they do, but it's decent acting, decent directing. The cinematography's killer.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've seen a Netflix original at all that had bad cinematography. And on that note, we're coming up on a break. When we get back, we're going to talk to you guys a little bit about No Man's Skies. Finally, some repercussions to their lies.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back from the break. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about No Man's Sky. Now, we talked a little bit about on the show about No Man's Sky, but it's a PlayStation exclusive title for the consoles. I think it's also on the PC.
Yes, it is on the PC.
You can download it from Valve Steam, to be precisely. Now, a lot of people are having issues with what was promised for the game by the developer Hello Games and what game they actually got. Now, there's a Reddit user called AzerUK, A-Z-Z-E-R-U-K, actually complained to the ASA. I'm assuming that's either the Advertising Authority or Video Game Authority, something like that.
Advertising Standards Authority, and it's UK's, it's a UK company.
UK. Now, this gentleman's comment was, between the screenshot and general information used to advertise No Man's Sky and its Steam page and what actually featured in-game, we're completely different.
Well, one of the things that is very funny is if you look on YouTube, you can find whole compilation videos of all the lies that the developer said about the game itself.
The interesting thing about this to me is the ASA, actually, they're holding Valve because of the Steam page, and Hello Games at the same level. They're basically saying both parties are fault.
It's not Valve's fault that it got misadvertised. Valve just puts up images and the videos that the developer puts up there. Like,
My assumption would be what it is the developer contacts Steam and say, hey, I want to put my game up there. They says, okay, here's your access, you know, information.
Well, Valve isn't... That's like suing PlayStation for a bad game. Like, it's the same thing. Valve doesn't advertise. They just... It's a source that people use for advertising.
Valve is providing the platform for people to download and find games.
Valve has always been very, very open about their buyer beware policy.
Now, the question I have, since, you know, obviously we're in the U.S. here, is in the U.K., is... How much of that is legal? You know, if you say, hey, buyer beware, this product may not be delivered, are you still held liable for that?
Well, but, I mean, Valve isn't a UK company.
Yeah, but they're still doing business in the UK, so they're still liable under UK laws.
I suppose, but then I guess we should not have any screenshots or video attached to anything then.
I don't know. I mean,
because a big part of it is that you get to watch like the gameplay and tutorials and stuff like that.
See, I think after everything I've read, and I know we're talking to you and a few other people, the biggest letdown in this game was nothing that they were majorly promised was really delivered. From what I've heard, there's poor gameplay. There's poor battles if you can find anything.
Well, there's not even a character skin.
Really?
Yeah, there's no assets for the character skin itself. Like for you, there's none.
Really?
Yeah, no, people have dug through the game's cache and found that there is no programming for character models, just for the main character.
Wow, that's I'm blown away.
That was a really big thing when they were talking about it being, because the developer said, oh yeah, there's multiplayer. Well, there isn't, and they were looking if maybe they might include multiplayer in the future. Basically, what the guy said was, well, the universe is so big and expansive that you'd never find anybody. And then,
here's my thought. I've been thinking a lot about this since this thing came to light to me. Is I think what happened is, unlike 3D Realms, who made Duke Nukem Forever, I think what they did is they released a game that was unfinished. And I think at some point in time, they're like, we're going to finish this game. We're going to add more content. They're going to hammer it. And I just don't think they delivered on a promise that they didn't tell anybody. Because that's the only thing I could think of.
A lot of games do that and say, oh, well, we're going to do more, and then they don't do anything.
No, I'm with you. I know for one thing, like I've been talking to everybody how I love the Deus Ex universe. In the Deus Ex universe, there's something for Adam Jensen, the main character, in the menu that's clothing options. I have yet to find one thing where you can actually use that option.
Right.
So I'm not surprised. I think the problem is where that is a feature I think would be cool, none of the game's features that were promised were available. I've only heard of one instance where somebody found somebody else's planet and there was no interaction.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a 3D chat universe. I mean, it seems like a bigger letdown than Destiny, and I couldn't stand Destiny. Matter of fact, I have the game, but I haven't played it almost since release day.
I've heard that the... For Destiny, you've got to get the expansions for it to be any good.
I have, now that I think about it, I have most of the expansions except one. My problem is I wanted a first-person experience with some PvP. This is more of a, you know, multiplayer MMO-style game than anything.
Right.
Which, for me, isn't necessarily what I want, which I think is a big issue.
So, speaking of the internet and people being angry... Apparently, Pepe the Frog has been designated as a hate symbol by the ADL.
So what exactly is, or who exactly is Pepe the Frog, since I don't know who he is?
Well, if you've ever been on Facebook or Twitter, you've seen that little frog meme where he's really sad, that really gross-looking frog. Or you've seen the one where he's like smiling and it says, feels good, man.
Okay, possibly.
Now, Pepe the Frog first appeared in 2005 at artist Matt Furry's Boys Club's cartoon. That's where he first appeared. And he got kind of famous for a 2008 comic where Pepe has his pants down and he's urinating and it says, feels good, man. So that's kind of like the origins of Pepe the Frog.
Now, how did it become internet hate speech?
Okay, this is what's great. So basically, and a lot of people consider 4chan, 8chan, and Reddit as being breeding grounds for all matter of inflammatory imagery. So because it became a meme, a lot of people put Pepe the Frog's face over things like Donald Trump, or there have been some anti-Semitic and mean things that the people have done with Pepe the Frog.
But I mean, that's with anything. I mean, that's with the Scumbag Steve meme. It's the guy with a backwards hat. Attached girlfriend thing. That's
even
really
Doge
everything.
Has been used inappropriately.
So what is there anything that particularly triggered this? Because
yes, Hillary Clinton. Let me tell you a little bit about this. So after Hillary Clinton said most of Trump's supporters were a basket of deplorables. Donald Trump Jr.'s kid, Donald Trump Jr., put a alternated version of the movie poster, The Expendables, on Instagram, showing Pepe amongst Trump and a bunch of other conservative figures labeled as the deplorables. In response to that, Hillary Clinton said, Donald Trump, and I quote, Pepe the Frog and white supremacists, an explainer on why that cartoon frog is more sinister than you might realize. And so now the ADL has labeled Pepe the Frog a hate symbol.
What?
Yep, because Hillary Clinton said so.
Now, I would totally be okay if they said that about Rickrolling. I don't know. For one thing, the internet definitely has a lot of reactionaries, and I think this is an overreaction of a meme that, honestly, unless you're of a certain age, I didn't know who the heck the Pepe the Frog is. I do think this is something that's a little jumping the shark.
When somebody told me about this, they had to actually show me the picture for me to realize like what he was talking about. Like, I knew about Pepe the Frog, but I didn't know his actual name. So, this is a quote from Jonathan A. Greenbalt, the ADL CEO. He says, once again, racists and haters have taken a popular internet meme and twisted it for their own purposes of spreading bigotry and harassing users.
I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but that's all memes.
And his quote isn't even like, listen to the rest of this. This is what gets me. It's the second part of this quote. These anti-Semites have no shame. They're abusing the image of a cartoon character one might at first seem appealing to harass and spread hatred on social media.
Now, for anybody who doesn't know, the ADL is the Anti-Defamation League. One major question for them is it's the internet. So now that they've said, okay, this is bad, what do you do from there?
Right. Well, and most of the time, the Pepe the Frog meme isn't used in a anti-Semitic way. A lot of people just use the picture of him being sad whenever something sad happens. Like, they'll post it. Like, I've seen it where, like, oh no, my dog's died, and people will post the Pepe the Frog meme. What's really interesting, too, is the ADL itself said, not all Pepes are bigoted. The meme fact, and this is quoting the group, the mere fact that posting a Pepe meme does not mean that somebody is racist or white supremacist. However, if the meme itself is racist or anti-Semitic in nature, or if it appears in a context containing bigoted or offensive language or symbols, then it may have been used for hateful purposes. So basically every meme ever?
So basically they're saying common sense, that's if something says, you know, I dislike this group of people or I hate this group of people, it's racist or bigoted. Not exactly news.
No, not at all. What they could say is basically, why are they focusing on Pepe then? I mean, you could say this about Harambe. You could say this about Doge. You could say this about any meme that's out there. Like, basically they're just saying, don't be mean.
And that's something Shay and I can definitely agree on. With that being said, we're going to go on a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about Facebook Messenger.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Now, I don't know how many of you people listening use Facebook Messenger. It is something that I use to keep in contact with some people, even some business contacts.
Yeah, I do that myself.
Kind of how I stay in touch with somebody. Now, personally, I think this is cool. Basically, Facebook is slimming down its Messenger app for older phones that have less storage. The company has slimmed the Messenger Lite app down from under 10 megabytes, so basically it takes up less space on smartphones. That's up to 95% smaller than the full-size app. I think this is great. Matter of fact, if they could get rid of half the crap, the one I have on my iPhone, I'd be much happier because it's just laden with horrible stuff.
I think I'm going to get rid of Facebook Messenger tonight and then just download Messenger Lite. What do you lose when you go to Messenger Lite?
My assumption would be there's a lot of, you know, a lot of candy, a lot of emojis that aren't standard. You've got, you know, a little flair. You've got like video memes and stuff you can search for. And a lot of it to me is just stuff I've never used. Stickers. That's what they're called. Facebook Messenger stickers, which I have some friends that after I'm talking to them, you know, I'll say, you know, goodbye. And then I'll get a stream of 1,000 stickers.
What I hate about Facebook Messenger is group chats, because group chats become sticker wars.
I have not had the opportunity, thankfully, to be in a lot of group chat, because mainly when I do group chat, it's with business contacts, when one of them actually had Facebook Messenger.
Well, for me, since I do a lot of film work, what you'll find is a lot of like film crews, instead of actually doing, you know, I don't know, sending emails about things, we'll just send things out in crew pages or little Facebook Messenger crew pages.
Now, according to this, it says it's going to be the core features of the app, such as ability to share text and photos, I'm assuming videos. Can you release this to iOS? Because honestly, that's all I want. I think it's what they should do, especially in the area when you have cheap phones or cheapish phones like Straight Talk, Family Mobile, stuff like that. When their phones do not have the greatest storage. I mean, some have 8 to 16 gigabytes in an era where you can have 128 gig cell phones. So I think this is perfect. I actually think this is something Facebook or all app people should have, as a light version of their apps. And I grew up with the era of ICQ, and so the idea of having a light chat app is perfect for me.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to this being released. Once it's released, I'm going to download it.
Now, it says here is the kicker, which makes me kind of sad. The Lite app will be released on Android devices in Kenya, Tunisia, Malaysia, Sierra Lake, and Venezuela first.
So we might not be getting it for a while.
I'm assuming it, if anything, maybe next quarter, probably beginning of the year. It'll probably be released in the United States. It'll be a quiet release, no fanfare. The other thing that's interesting, this is competing with their WhatsApp that they purchased, which is something people use throughout the world.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely see what's going to happen with that.
So another thing that's really interesting with, you know, some software, Twitch is starting to offer virtual currency. So Twitch is, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Twitch is owned by Amazon, and Amazon has been trying to get inside the gaming field slowly but steadily. So Breakaway will be the first title to use Stream Plus, which is the actual currency of Twitch, I guess, is what they're going to do.
Stream Plus?
That's what it's called.
Great name.
So Breakaway is, it's going to be, it's kind of like one of those, it looks like it's going to be kind of similar to Team Fortress 2 or Overwatch, maybe a little bit of League of Legends in there. I don't know. I've looked at some of the actual gameplay of Breakaway and some of the, I guess, stills. And I'm not super impressed.
Is this something that Amazon actually had made, or is this another party? Because
this is an Amazon thing, yeah.
See, to me, this is, I don't know. I think this is kind of drinking their own milkshake, as it were, because I think they'd be better off just providing the ability for other people to use this.
So Amazon's acquisition of Twitch back in 2014 has laid the foundation for some development on its own games that they're trying to do. And they're trying to engage Twitch viewers. So Twitch is kind of gain quite a market, and you can actually make money streaming games if people are watching, like Let's Plays and stuff like that. Oftentimes you use Twitch. So a demonstration of the video was shown using players betting on outcomes of a Breakaway tournament. And so I'm kind of a little bit interested to see where that's going to go, because I know there was some things going on with Counter-Strike Go and FIFA. Where there were websites set up to bet on outcomes of some of the tournaments and stuff like that were going on.
But
and
Valve cracked down on that. Something that they allowed. That was something that I guess they didn't know about, or something happened.
Well, and the UK's Gambling Commission has said that it will be paying, and I quote, paying close attention to the growing popularity of virtual or in-game items which can be traded, sold, or used in the virtual currencies to gamble.
Now, this is a little bit of a sidebar. I hate microtransactions in video games.
So do I.
So this is
I don't play MMOs.
This is something that I think is good and bad. Now, the question is there an age limit? Or
oh, it doesn't say.
Because that's the question. Because I don't know, say if I had a 10-year-old son, I don't really want my 10-year-old kid to gamble, for example. That's not an addiction that I really want him to start. It's bad enough that he plays video games.
It's really easy to lie about your age on the internet.
Well, yeah. No, you're totally right. But something about this just seems fishy. Maybe I'm just old school. I don't really see the point of betting on video games. I hate it. Microtransaction of video games, and I've had to do it for some games just so I can continue on to the storyline.
I especially hate it in apps. One of the things, though, that's really interesting, too, I'm kind of wondering how this is going to work, because there's stuff for in-game items you can use some of the money for. Now, I know with Counter-Strike Go, there was a big problem where people would kind of abuse the system on the Steam market. So they'd buy a bunch of guns and then repackage them as like in the game so that you can open up a better gun. Well, you could actually make quite a bit of money doing that. They made it a lot harder now because you have to wait like a month before you can actually resell weapons. But I remember I even am kind of guilty of going and buying a bunch of really cheap firearms in the game, like firearm skins, and then going and turning them in, getting a better gun, and then selling that gun for however much. Like, I've made, what was it, off of $5, I think I made like $30.
Wow.
And there are people who are really good at it. There are like some skins on CSGO that go for a couple hundred.
What?
There are skins for weapons that go for a couple hundred dollars. It's all about status in CSGO.
I'll be honest, I'm kind of flabbergasted. I just couldn't imagine spending $100 on a virtual item.
So we're coming up on the end of the show here. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter. We are on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and Golden State Media Concepts Podcast.com. And from Shane Northrup
and Jonathan Charney,
have a good day.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.